The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. My first article is from CBSNews.com. United Airlines becomes first U.S. carrier to add Braille signs to aircraft interiors, posted July 28th. United Airlines announced Thursday it will add Braille to the interiors of its planes, becoming the first U.S. carrier to implement the signage. The airline said it has about a dozen aircraft with Braille markings for individual rows, seat numbers, and inside and outside lavatories. United said it expects to equip its entire mainline fleet with Braille by the end of 2026. More than 27 million people with disabilities traveled by air in 2019, according to the Department of Transportation. Linda Jojo, Executive Vice President and Chief Customer Officer for United, acknowledged the difficulties experienced by customers who are blind or have visual disabilities. Finding your seat on a plane or getting to the restroom is something most of us take for granted, but for millions of our customers, it can be a challenge to do so independently, she said in a statement. By adding more tactile signage throughout our interiors, we're making the flying experience more inclusive and accessible, and that's good for everyone. United said it was working with the National Federation of the Blind, NFB, and the American Council of the Blind, ACB, and other disability advocacy groups to implement other tactile navigational aids, including raised letters, numbers, and arrows. In a statement, NFP President Mark Riccobono commended United for making its aircraft more accessible to blind passengers. The flight experience is often frustrating for a number of reasons, one of which is the amount of information that is available exclusively through printed signs and other visual indicators, Riccobono said. We hope to continue working with United to explore additional ways to make flying more accessible and less stressful for blind passengers. Last month, a first-of-its-kind design was unveiled that would make airplanes more accessible for travelers who rely on electric-powered wheelchairs. From 9to5Mac.com, visually impaired people will be able to navigate NYC subway system with help of upcoming app. Article by Ben Lovejoy. Visually impaired people face plenty of challenges when navigating a busy city like New York, and never more so than using the NYC subway system. That looks set to change with the help of the Commute Booster accessibility app, which has passed the first stage of testing with flying colors. The trickiest part of a subway commute for anyone who has loss of sight or is visually impaired is the so-called middle mile, and it's here the app can help. The middle mile is the term given to interchanges where a commuter needs to navigate an often complex network of underground corridors, turnstiles, and platforms. Making matters tougher for those with some vision is that the signage they need to follow can easily get lost in the clutter of ads and other irrelevant signs and notices. Engadget reports it on an app designed to solve this problem by combining a built-in database of transit routes with the ability to read relevant signs while ignoring others. Researchers at NYU's Tandon, T-A-N-D-O-N, School of Engineering and Grossman, G-R-O-S-S-M-A-N, School of Medicine, have created an app to help people with visual impairments navigate New York City's subway system. Commute Booster uses a smartphone camera to recognize relevant signs along a transit route, guiding the user to their destination, Ellipsis. The app combines General Transit Feed Specification, GTFS, a standardized and publicly available database about public transportation routes, with optical character recognition, OCR, to interpret signs and guide the user accordingly. By integrating these two components, Commute Booster provides real-time feedback to users regarding the presence or absence of relevant navigation signs within the field of view of their phone camera during their journey, said NYU. An initial test trial tested the app at 3 different NYC stations and found that it had a 97% success rate at identifying the signs needed to follow a route within them. Next up is wider testing in real-life scenarios, with researchers hoping to make Commute Booster freely available in the near term. As the piece notes, using smartphone cameras to read the signs is somewhat clunky, and this type of tech will really come into its own when we finally get those long-rumored Apple glasses. The end goal of Apple's headset work. I heavily redacted the Reader's Digest version of this Reader's Digest July-August issue article called Vision Quest. A rare genetic condition is robbing these kids of their eyesight, so their family traveled around the world to give them a chance to see it all. Article by Lisa Fitterman, F-I-T-T-E-R-M-A-N. 5-year-old Laurent Pelletier, that's P-E-L-L-E-T-I-E-R, during the first few months of a year-long trip through Africa, Asia, and the Middle East with his mother, his father, Sebastian Pelletier, and his 3 older siblings, Mia, 12, Leo, 10, and Colin, 7. Met bush crickets, ground crickets, baby crickets, crickets whose chirping lulled them to sleep at night. The creatures became talismans, lucky charms on the family's journey around the world. Mom Edith LeMay said he couldn't eat the carnivorous armored bush cricket. Far from their home in Boucherville, Quebec, looking to imprint as many once-in-a-lifetime memories as they could rack up, they rode horses across the bright green steppes of Mongolia, kayaked on the azure sea off Cambodia, camped under the soaring brick-red peaks of Namibia, and flew in a hot air balloon over the brown, lunar-like landscape in Turkey. The memories really matter because unless science makes a breakthrough soon, 3 of the 4 siblings, Mia, Colin, and Laurent, will become blind, likely in adulthood. The children have been diagnosed with a disease that has no effective treatment and no specific timeline as it gradually robs them of their sight. The diagnosis came after a 4-year search for the reason that Mia couldn't see at night. As a toddler, she banged into walls and furniture that her mom and dad could make out once their eyes adjusted to the dark. In 2013, when Mia was 3, the family began a frustrating series of visits to doctors, none of whom had an answer for her lack of night vision. In 2015, as a last resort, a pediatric ophthalmologist enrolled the family in a research project in which their entire genome was mapped out. After 2 interminable years, the mapping was completed. At the ophthalmologist's office, the specialist gave it to them straight. Mia had retinitis pigmentosa, a mutation called PDE6B. She had inherited the gene from both parents, though neither had the condition nor knew they were carriers. RP, as it is known, is a catch-all term for a group of about 50 inherited genetic mutations that affect the retina, tissue at the back of the eye that interprets images in black and white and technicolor. The cells at its edges, called rods, crucial for peripheral and night vision, die first. As the disease progresses over years, the cells in the middle, called cones, used for seeing in color and for everyday activities like reading, writing, and driving, die off too. Right now, the doctor continued, there is no cure. While it was tempting to seek a second opinion, Edith and Sebastian knew that genetic mapping did not lie. The results were definitive, irreversible, and life-changing. Later, tests would show that Colin and Laurent had PDE6B, too. Only Leo dodged the mutation. Everything we hope for our children, for their future, for what they could become, has to change, Edith said to her husband one evening. How will they cope? They vacillated over explaining to 7-year-old Mia what her condition meant. Should they let her be a kid, innocent and unaware, for as long as possible? A few weeks later, it just came out, part of a conversation about disabilities in general, while having lunch at their kitchen table. You know the problem with your eyes? Edith asked Mia. You're probably going to be blind when you're an adult. The revelation was more abrupt than Edith had hoped, but at least it was done. Edith held her breath as she waited for Mia to respond. Oh, that's not fun, the girl said before changing the subject. Later that week, Mia announced that she would need to start keeping her bedroom especially neat, with everything in its place. In the future, I'll need to know where things are, she said. Edith and Sebastian watched as Mia continued unprompted to feel her way around the house with her eyes closed to see what it was like to navigate without sight. Up the stairs and down, through the kitchen, living room, and basement, memorizing shapes with her fingertips. She's finding solutions on her own, they told each other. We need to follow her lead. And so the idea of a year-long trip was born, one that would show the kids the world in person and at close range, from windswept vistas to waterfalls and warthogs, a trip that would show life in its grandeur and gritty detail while the kids could still see it. When Edith and Sebastian first broached the idea in the spring of 2020, the kids didn't understand. A whole year away from home, from school, their grandparents and friends? It was too hard to imagine, says Leo. We'd gone away for a week or two at a time, but a year? I didn't think it was real. For the next 2 years, Edith and Sebastian worked, she in health logistics and he for a financial startup, and saved money. They researched places to visit and asked their children what they wanted to do on their big trip. Mia wanted to ride a horse. Colin wanted to sleep overnight on a train. Laurent thought it would be fun to drink juice while riding a camel. Leo wanted to tour Pokemon attractions in Japan. In early 2022, they were ready. Edith and Sebastian quit their jobs, rented out their home for the next year, and packed everything they thought they might need for a year on the go. Because the kids would miss more than 9 months of school, the plan was that they would study French and math a few times a week. The rest of the time, they'd be learning from the world around them, the best teacher of all. Traveling with four children wouldn't be cheap, but they'd save money by camping and staying in hostels, guest houses, and even a Mongolian yurt made from goat skins. On Monday, March 21st, they threw from Montreal to Windhoek, Namibia, with no set itinerary save for a meandering initial trip from the southwest coast of Africa to the east through Namibia, Botswana, and Tanzania. Once there, they would make plans on the fly. How we adults see the world and how kids see the world is so different, and we had to respect that, says Edith. That was clear from the start. It would have to be less about temples and museums and more about whatever caught their eye. Rarely did they talk about why they were abroad in the first place, with one exception. While traveling along a dusty Mongolian highway last summer, Laurent asked, "What does it mean to be blind? How will I cross the street? Will my wife be blind? Will I be able to drive a car?" "It's like when you have your eyes closed," Edith said. "It won't happen overnight, but slowly, over years." Being blind, she told him, didn't mean the end of the world. Rather, the world would be different. Nothing would prevent them from doing most things, including skiing, swimming, or even becoming scientists who worked on cures for RP. Laurent nodded, then went back to making up games to pass the time. Retinitis pigmentosa, which affects between 1 in 3,000 and 1 in 4,000 people globally, was once considered untreatable, but over the past 20 years, science has seen considerable breakthroughs. There is not yet a cure for PDE6B, the mutation the Pelletier kids have, but thanks to genetic research, a surgical injection behind the retina can now reverse the effects of another mutation, RPE65. This, says Robert Koenkoop, K-O-E-N-E-K-O-O-P, a pediatric ophthalmologist in Montreal, has given science a clear roadmap for developing treatments for other forms of RP. Until then, science has managed to temporarily slow the progress of RP in many cases by injecting antioxidants such as vitamin A and omega-3 fatty acids at regular intervals. And in 2022, two different studies reported that acupuncture can improve vision, maybe through increasing blood flow to the retina. Dr. Koenkoop says many of his patients who get acupuncture report that they can see better, even at night. That lasts for a few months, and then they do the acupuncture again, he says. This is the most exciting time we've had in terms of advances for treatment of RP. The chances of kids like these three getting help are good. Edith and Sebastian know there is hope, but they downplay the possibility because they want their kids to lead full lives, whether they're blind or not. The trip has reinforced what Mia showed them all those years ago when she wandered the house with her eyes closed. They will find their way and be happy. "Today my vision is good and I'm going to make the most of it," says Mia. From CoolBlindTech.com, posted July 24th, mobile app allows early detection of eye diseases, reducing blindness risks. The world of healthcare is witnessing a groundbreaking advancement with the development of the mobile app BEG-IA. Created by two visionary master's degree students in bioinformatics and biostatistics at the Universitat Oberta de Catalunya, UOC, BEG-IA utilizes the power of artificial intelligence to revolutionize the early detection of debilitating eye diseases, such as glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, and cataracts. With a simple selfie, this innovative app can swiftly diagnose these conditions, guiding users to seek timely medical intervention and expert care. The app's potential to transform global eye health has been recognized, and it recently earned the prestigious Ramon Melinas Foundation Prize for Social Impact at the 2023 SPIN UOC event. How does BEG-IA detect eye diseases? BEG-IA employs a neural network artificial intelligence algorithm, proficient in deep learning techniques. By analyzing a frontal image of the face taken as a mobile selfie, the app can accurately identify whether the individual is affected by an eye disease, distinguishing between various conditions simultaneously. How can BEG-IA benefit regions with limited access to health care? The creators of BEG-IA have focused on addressing the lack of easy access to eye care in remote and underserved regions. In developing countries and rural areas where ophthalmology specialists and diagnostic facilities may be scarce, the app's early detection capabilities can prove invaluable in preventing vision loss and blindness. How did the idea for BEG-IA originate? The inspiration for BEG-IA emerged from a personal experience of one of the creators, Igor Garcia Atutxa, that's A-T-U-T-X-A, and Francisca Villanueva. Witnessing a relative struggle with diabetic retinopathy due to type 2 diabetes, they recognized the urgency for early diagnosis to mitigate the impact of eye diseases on people's lives. How has BEG-IA been trained and improved? To enhance the algorithm's accuracy and robustness, the creators utilized images provided by Mexico's Instituto Tecnológico y Estudios Superiores de Monterrey. The algorithm has undergone continuous training and refinement, with plans to collaborate further with hospitals and diabetes associations to secure images with greater variability. What are the additional features of the BEG-IA mobile app? Beyond its diagnostic capabilities, BEG-IA also facilitates remote medical monitoring. Users can track the effectiveness of their treatment plans and monitor the evolution of their condition through images taken with the app, avoiding the need for frequent travel and significant medical expenses. When can we expect BEG-IA to be available? The creators of BEG-IA are optimistic about its potential impact on global eye health and foresee its availability on the market within the next 2 years. This efficient and accessible solution aligns with the principles of the World Health Organization's Vision 2020 project for preventing blindness. With its potential to provide accessible eye care in underserved regions and empower medical professionals and patients alike, BEG-IA holds the promise of transforming the lives of millions of affected by eye conditions. As the world embraces this groundbreaking technology, the fight against preventable blindness takes a giant leap forward, shining a new ray of hope for a brighter future. From nfb.org, Route 66 Ride for Literacy with Dan O'Rourke. There are quick links to donate for his ride, attend a pit stop party, and to follow Dan. The National Federation of the Blind is excited to partner with Dan O'Rourke for a journey of strength, dedication, and connection. This summer, Dan will bike ride from Santa Monica, California to Chicago, Illinois, along the famous Route 66, to raise awareness of our mission of raising expectations. The pedals started turning in July. Learn about the rider, the cause, and ways to support. Follow the ride. Dan started his ride July 27th. Check back at nfb.org, Facebook, or Mastodon to track his journey. Route completed. Day 1, July 27, Santa Monica, California to San Bernardino, California, 77 miles. Day 2, July 28th, San Bernardino, California to Barstow, California, 70 miles. Day 3, July 29th, Barstow, California to Amboy, California, 80 miles. Day 4, July 30th, day off in Amboy, California. Day 5, July 31st, Amboy, California to Needles, California, 82 miles. Day 6, August 1st, Needles, California to Kingman, Arizona, 62 miles. Day 7, August 2nd, Kingman, Arizona to Seligman, Arizona, 72 miles. That's all that's posted so far. About the ref, Dan O'Rourke has been an on-ice official for the National Hockey League, NHL, since 1999. After growing up watching his blind father defeat all obstacles in his path, Dan wants to give back to the organization that further empowers blind people to live the lives they want. Get to know Dan at his hot links. Read our Braille Monitor article, Pedaling for Those Who May Think They Are Alone. NHL headline, O'Rourke biking from California to Chicago to fundraise for the blind. In the news, why NHL referee Dan O'Rourke is biking more than 2,700 miles from Santa Monica to Chicago this summer, in the article in The Athletic. About the Federation, the National Federation of the Blind is the transformative membership organization of blind people. Established in 1940, this organized blind movement promotes equality, security, and opportunity for all blind people. We know that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day we raise the expectations of blind people because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams. You can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back. We are the only organization that believes in the full capacity of blind people and that has the power to transform our dreams into reality. We believe in blind people because we are blind people. Pit stop parties. We are coordinating meet and greets along the ride. Join us at one of the following gatherings to meet Dan and learn more about the Federation. The July 27th is already passed. August 4th is already passed. August 12th, Santa Fe, New Mexico. August 17th, Amarillo, Texas. August 23rd, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. August 27th, Springfield, Missouri. August 31st, St. Louis, Missouri. September 8th, Chicago, Illinois, The Art Institute and Harold Washington Library. Sign up to receive email notifications regarding updates on this exciting adventure. How to contribute. Together we can all make a difference. This ride supports a community that creates a future full of opportunities for blind people. While Dan bikes across the country to connect and to promote our mission, please support this effort with a contribution to the organized blind movement via the following. Hot link to give online. Give via phone by calling our donation line at 410-659-9314, extension 2430. Send a check to National Federation of the Blind, Attention Outreach, 200 East Wells Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Write Ride for Literacy in the memo. Thank you. Thank you for your support. When you support the National Federation of the Blind, you help with early childhood initiatives, free white cane distribution, the NFB Bell Academy, STEM programs for blind students, membership building, leadership training, student seminars, development of new technologies, our Center for Excellence in Non-Visual Access, CENA, teacher training programs, conventions, employment readiness, career fairs, assistance to people whose eyesight is changing, and so much more. Here is the article by Michael Russo that was published in The Athletic. Why NHL referee Dan O'Rourke, O'Rourke, is biking more than 2,700 miles from Santa Monica to Chicago this summer. For as long as Dan O'Rourke can remember, his dad has been visually impaired, but there's not one time he recalls him saying, "Nah, I can't do that because I can't see." That meant coaching Dan, now one of the NHL's most experienced referees, and his brother Steve, an associate coach for the Oshawa Generals, in hockey. That meant playing catch in the backyard with his sons, hoping to hell they didn't nail Dad right between the eyes. And yes, that even meant driving a wee bit longer in life than he probably should have, in their tiny one-stoplight town in British Columbia. He would always find a way, says O'Rourke, who began as an NHL linesman in 1999. He just never accepted that he was legally blind. As a kid, it started as night blindness. O'Rourke's uncles tell stories about how when Tom was a kid, the boys could be playing ball in the backyard, but as soon as dusk hit, Tom couldn't see the ball or would go back to make a catch and wipe out over a bike or something. Tom was eventually diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, a rare eye disease that progressively gets worse as one ages and often results in total blindness sometime in the early 20s. If you take a piece of paper and poke two pinholes in it and hold it up to your eyes, that's Tom O'Rourke's field of vision. He has no peripheral vision. Then you add the night blindness and cataracts, and it's just been a constant deterioration in his eyesight over the years. But because Tom never really accepted that he was blind, he never learned some skills that would have helped him later in life. He doesn't know how to read Braille. He doesn't use the traditional white cane. Tom's idea of a cane is the type a person would use if they have a limp, then taping it white. You know, it doesn't really serve the purpose of a cane that a blind person would need, O'Rourke says, chuckling. Seeing all that his father, now 75, has overcome, served as an inspiration for O'Rourke, and this summer he's taking that inspiration and channeling it into a cause. O'Rourke is teaming up with the National Federation of the Blind and setting off on a 42-day bike ride. I've already read most of that on the NFB site. O'Rourke, 50, a former minor league hockey player who has officiated 1,383 regular season games, 187 playoff games, and last month his sixth Stanley Cup final, has always enjoyed physical and mental challenges. Skipping forward, a company called WOHO, W-O-H-O, is providing the saddlebags and frame bags that can hold food, tools, and anything else he needs as he pedals through California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Illinois. He plans to ride from sunup to sundown, so he needs to be fully equipped. Alchemy Bikes out of Denver is providing one of its road bikes because his current bike is not set up to ride that many miles in that many days and isn't capable of eating up so much of the road vibration. And following along, or sometimes driving in front to block some of the weather, will be O'Rourke's wife, April, and their dog, Bailey, B-E-I-L-E-Y, in a 35-foot Tiffin Allegro open road RV the couple just bought, which will also drag a trailer that houses his bikes and other necessities for the 6-week trek. The NHL has donated money for gas and other expenditures, and many of his fellow officials have helped sponsor things like the campgrounds he and his wife will stay at. The O'Rourke's got a membership that will allow them to stay on sites of campgrounds, breweries, wineries, farms, ranches, and zoos. The plan is for O'Rourke to ride 3 or 4 days in a row, clipping off 50 to 55 miles a day, then take a full day off for rest and recovery. He plans to do pit stop parties during those days off days with members of local chapters of the NFB. As O'Rourke rides by areas where fellow officials live, there's a chance some will even join the ride for that day. The hope is to have a finishing event around September 8th in Chicago that will include family, including his parents, Tom and Jane Janice, children Austin and Gracie, friends, and members of the NFB. The NFB will be tracking the trek's progress on its website, including plans to live stream at times, and will also provide email updates. The NHL will be assisting with social media on its platforms as well. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next week.